Well, my next guest is joining me, who is in town, the lovely Wendy Chamberlain from Chamberlain Property Advocates. And how are you, Wendy?
I am very well, Wilma. How are you?
Very good. How's the weather treating you?
Look, it's been a little cold and rainy, but I actually enjoy winter. It's a great season in the garden as well.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I might just get you to move around wherever you are because it's just a little bit scratchy.
All right. Is that better?
That's much better. Yes, thank you very much. It's appreciated. Yes, that's better. I want to hear that lovely voice of yours. Good on you. Well, it's another crazy week and months in the industry, of course, in real estate. And there's always talks about there is going to be a rate increase and then it isn't and then it's on hold. So let's start. We'll start with question number one. How's the auction clearance rates going? And, yes, how's it looking during this wintry time and as we're leading up to the spring season?
Well, I was having this conversation with someone this week, Vilma, that actually one of the best times to sell is in winter because you're not competing with the spring selling season crowd who are probably all getting ready to bring their houses on in a couple of months. But auction clearance rates, we're at 72% this week off about 810 auctions that were reported in. So we're sort of heading into the more positive seller territory. If you're in the 60s, you are more in a buyer's market, but into the 70s, in boom markets, we've seen into the 80s and 90s. But I think one of the things that anyone listening needs to remember is that all different Melbourne suburbs do different things. So a clearance rate talks about what happened across the entirety of Melbourne, but we're talking over 330 suburbs. Mm. So what we are seeing is that the buyer sentiment has been improving the more and more that we get into 2025. We're halfway through now. And we have had here in Melbourne 4 consecutive months of price growth, which is showing some really good positive signs regarding what is going on in the Melbourne market.
Dear, dear. Go on, continue.
Well, there had been quite a bit of a slowdown last year, and so for June we're up 0.5% on house prices, and that is up 1.2% for the quarter. But the interesting thing is, in the past, Melbourne has always tracked pretty closely to what Sydney is doing. And we veered off some months prior. And right now, Melbourne house prices are currently sitting 41% cheaper than Sydney, which is the largest gap we've seen in over 2 decades. And I know certainly as a buyer's advocate, we are receiving a lot of inquiry from people in Sydney and in Brisbane, because Brisbane now has passed Melbourne as well on prices. Because Melbourne is seen as very affordable in relation to the prices that we're seeing in other states, which is a very interesting turn of events, I find.
Yes, absolutely. But then, you know, you hear that prices of housing, real estate is going up. What's the true story behind all of this?
Well, I think what you've got to look at is in any particular market of Melbourne or suburb, as I talk about, you really have to drill down and do your due diligence down to that granular level, because even sides of a street or pockets or parts of a suburb can differ on price depending on what is there, what the amenity is there. People like certain things, they don't like certain things, like a house for sale on main roads, they're always going to have a bit of a price reduction because it is a main road and there's everything that goes associated with that kind of location.
Yes.
So that's what it's about, is making sure that you understand that the pulse and exactly what is going on in any suburb that you're looking to buy into. And the same is correct as well when you're looking to sell, making sure that your home is presented in the best possible light based on who is going to be coming in and purchasing a property. So there is a little bit more positivity in the market that we're seeing. However, the fact that interest rates were kept on hold seems to have thrown everybody in a bit of a spin this week, because there was an expectation that interest rates would be cut, and they weren't. So I think things are a little bit on a holding pattern. But what I do see, I see it as an opportunity for buyers to step on in there, because we have started to see a bit of momentum come into the market. And when there's momentum, and it comes back to basic supply and demand, when there is more demand than supply, because there is a little bit in of shortage of stock right now, depending on what suburb you might be looking at, and then types of properties. So, for example, in the inner north, we've been hunting for clients for villa units, which are always very, very well regarded, because it's a great first home, it makes a great downsize a home, they make great investments because they rent really well, so they're always really well regarded. They're in hot supply, but they're not always available, and we're seeing that certainly through the inner north, that there's more people hunting for those than there are available.
Wow, I haven't heard the word villa units in years. Do they still use that terminology?
Yeah, we do. Villa units, so it's different. Villa units, as you would know, Vilma, it's different to a townhouse.
Yes.
It's different to an apartment. It's different to a flat.
Yes, absolutely. Wow.
Villa units are great to buy.
Yes. Well, anyway, so that's really good information there, Wendy. So tell us the market update for 2025. What is happening in the market now, now that we're halfway, 6 months, 7 months in? How is it flowing?
Well, right now, being in July, things do get a little bit slower, I find. We are in the middle of school holidays right now, so people are not necessarily thinking about getting the home sold. They're waiting, as I said, till the spring selling season. Now, traditionally, people do wait for that. But it doesn't, when you think about it logically, it doesn't make sense that you wait until those few months of the year, you compete against so many other people selling the homes. So the buyers, in effect, get more choice. It makes much more sense if you're ready to sell your house during winter, or, funnily enough, the very best time to sell a house is February and March. And the reason for that is we have this pent-up demand that happens coming off the Christmas, New Year break and time of year. And, like, Christmas will be here in a matter of, literally a matter of months, but it just comes so fast now.
Yes.
So what happens in the real estate market is that toward the end of November and then December, people start getting what I call Christmas brain, and that means they no longer look at wanting to buy houses. They look at catching up with friends, family, what they're going to do, get together and all that kind of stuff. And so we have this sort of hiatus that starts to happen over that December, early January period, and then oftentimes the market, depending on what it's doing, because every market is different, but oftentimes the market doesn't spring back until into the new year, sometimes after Australia Day, and the first sets of auctions tend to happen in February. And so that pent-up demand from all of those December, January people, you've got all those people out ready to look, looking for homes, and that's why it's always a great time to sell in February, March.
Okay, well, there you go. Fantastic. Well, I always think it's a nice time to sell because, as you said, you can put some beautiful, nice, decor in there and set it all up. I was going to ask you, do you do all that as well? I mean, not yourself physically, but if a home needs a little bit of a sprucing up, how do you go about that?
So we can provide that advice to clients about how to declutter, pieces to include, remove, etc. And we've got connections to provide that. So it is something we can advise on about styling a home for sale. And it is something that is quite important to think about in the mix of getting your home on the market, because we as humans generally can't visualise a space where it's empty. And spaces, particularly bedrooms, look much smaller to our eye when we haven't got that frame of reference of having a bed or the furniture in there. So it actually is well worth the money to invest to style your home if you're putting it on the market.
Absolutely. Now, I was going to say, resident tenancy amendments. Now, this is always a topic these days. So the minimum energy efficiency standards for the regulations of 2025, are there or yet again more changes? Probably is, but anyway. And what is the latest with this and all the various rental requirements for rental providers to meet?
I was about to say, Vilma, it's a day ending and why. You know there's going to be another change for the government decided it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So, All of these new minimum rental standards which were announced were all supposed to have all been enacted by the 1st of July 2025, which is, what, 11 days ago.
Yep.
And this was not a simple exercise for anyone that owns a property and rents it out, and it certainly was not an inexpensive exercise. And I, hand on heart, do not think the government realised how much this stuff costs. They put their finger in the air and decide it's going to cost X, Y, and Z, and it's nowhere near. It's usually way, way lower. So the most recent changes, because the REIB lobbied very hard to the government to get them to consider the position of the rental provider, which is your landlord. It's been renamed to a rental provider. That there's a lot of taxes and costs and things that have been applied to renting a property and owning a property that is an investment. And I don't think, and I agree with the RRB, that the consideration has been given to the rental provider of how much this puts a burden on providing that accommodation. So what has come through now is that the government has revised that they've pushed back the date on when these new minimum rental standards will be applied. And it's back to the 1st of March 2027 for most of the things that they want implemented, which is fantastic because it just gives that little bit of extra breathing space for people to accommodate. How are they going to bring in these various bits and pieces that the government is mandating must be put into a rental property? So the things that we're talking about, there's a new cooling standard, a new draft proofing standard, ceiling insulation, a hot water system standard, a heating of the home standard, and also about water efficiency ratings of shower heads. So the key changes that they made were that the compliance date on most of these things, but particularly let's look at the standard for hot water. The definition of an unreasonable cost has been revised to include electrical work to upgrade a switchboard to accommodate an additional load. So it's not just a simple case of we mandate that you need a hot water system. The one you've got doesn't meet all our environment standards. You need to put a new one in. But the electrical system of the house isn't going to cope for it. That cost to replace, entirely rewire your home to accommodate this is enormous. It's not just a simple, it's a few thousand dollars has to do this. There's also an exemption that's been included allowing rental providers to replace non-energy efficient heaters like for like if it's covered under a warranty, so they don't have to totally throw out a perfectly working system to replace it with a new compliant one that is energy efficient. And you can't see me, I'm using rabbit ears. Energy efficient. When the existing system can be repaired, does the job, and it's not going to cost the rental provider thousands of dollars to replace it. So there's been a little bit more logic, common sense, shall we say, applied to these changes for these rental standards. Because it's quite tough now to comply with all of this if you haven't got the cash to do it. And we're seeing a knock-on effect from all these changes that the government are announcing. It has a direct effect on the rental market and it has a direct effect on renters. So renters are listening today thinking, well, that's not nothing to do with me. I don't own the home. It's their responsibility to provide the home. Yes, that's correct. However, the problem that we're seeing at in the market right now is that people don't necessarily have the money to make all these changes, or they don't want to do it, or there's homes that are older and there's a lot of money that's got to be spent on them to bring them up to compliance. And those homes are being sold. And then when they're sold, they're not necessarily being brought back into the investment pool, into the rental market. They're being purchased by home buyers. And when a home buyer buys a property, that's fantastic. But it takes that property out of the rental pool, which again, back to supply and demand, there's fewer properties for rent, which means more people competing for them. So this is not a positive benefit for renters, but there's fewer houses to rent.
Well, I think this will end up being a continuing saga anyway. But in my thoughts and opinion, I think the landlord still has got a lot to be responsible for now than what they used to. So, yes, absolutely. And also owning a rental property, it's either going to be smooth sailing or a nightmare. So there's two ways to look at it. Yes, I would agree that investing is still the best option in the long term, but the responsibilities of a landlord is much greater now than what it ever used to be, and the outlays are definitely there. Just to give you a quick example, I know someone that was renting a property and they could smell gas, but they didn't know where it was coming from, Wendy, and they thought it was from the stove, as you normally do. So the gas fitter came, and the owner said, look, just go in, have a check, and sort it out. So he did. They looked behind the stove. Yeah, there was an issue, a leak, and they went under the house. Yeah, there was a leak. They had to change a copper pipe. 3 hours work. And anyway, at the end, the bill came to the owner. You'll have a shock.
$6,000. $6,000. Oh, well, Belma.
Yes.
Deary me.
And when I heard that, I said, did you check the invoice, you know, the tenant? And, well, that person said, well, the bill doesn't come to me, but he stayed maybe 3-4 hours max. It was a copper pipe that needed to be changed under the house. They did some, obviously, work behind the stove. Then the owner got the bill sent. And then he actually rang the tenant and said, what in the hell was going on? What was he doing? $6,000. And it was a local guy in their community.
It's just crazy. I'll give you an example. Right? Not a $6,000 example, but you have to have every other year, you've got to get your gas and electrical compliance checks done. So we did that on one of the properties that we own.
Mm.
Now, they sent back through a report of these are the things that must be done to be compliant, and these are the things that we suggest you do them. It's not mandated, but we suggest you do it. And here's our quote to do these bits and pieces.
Mm.
So there were two light globes that needed to be changed. They quoted over $200 to change the light globes for us.
Oh, please. Really? That's a joke.
I'm being deadly serious, Wilma. I'm like, okay. No, I think maybe the renter can change their light globes, and we're not going to pay someone $200 to go and do it.
Yeah. That's absolutely disgusting, and I think that, you know, there's got to be someone watching these guys as well. So it's all good. The landlord has to pay out and fork out a lot more money because of the regulations, but who's ever doing those works need to be also inspected as well, because people are getting ripped off, and especially if you own a property interstate as well.
I agree with you, Vilma, because my question would be, because I study everything with a fine-tooth comb because that's what I like to do, and I read everything.
That's right.
How many people think they're doing the right thing, go and get these checks done, get the invoice and then the quote to fix bits and pieces and just go, yeah, go ahead and pay it?
Mm. Unbelievable. So there is a lot of hargy-bargy going on, and I think people need to be a little bit aware, get a few quotes, don't just go for the first one that you see. I mean, personally, a bit of copper pipe, okay, copper is expensive, but not to that extreme. And yes, they've got to pay for
the length.
Yeah, but $6,000. I mean, the owner would have just said, what in the hell? You know, it's dear. Now, if people want to find out about the home buying secret course, they can give you maybe I'll give you the email. But you have released a fast track 10 key module in buying a home, and if anyone is interested, just tell us a little bit about the modules.
So the home buying secrets program is a course that I've put together, which shows you step by step online how to buy a property so you're confident in what you're doing. What we have done, we've pulled out 10 of the modules, which we've called Fast Track. So this is I like to call it the pointy end of the scenario.
Mm.
And what it is, it's how to speak to agents, how to make offers, how to negotiate, what you need to be doing to get yourself ready to bid at auction. So that's those key concepts when you've found a property that you're interested in buying and what you need to do. So that support for you, it's videos, it's templates, it's really there. So it shows you exactly the things that you need to know so that you put yourself in the best position to buy a property.
Absolutely. Now, they can make contact at hello@chamberlainadvocates.com.au.
That is exactly right.
Oh, ripper. I thought I might have got that wrong. So it's hello at chamberlainadvocates.com.au. And I think, you know, a lot of people think, well, buying a property is easy. Yeah, look, oh, I like it. Yeah, let's buy it. Let's make it happen. Yeah, just sign a couple of contracts. Sometimes you don't even know what you're signing. You really don't. And when buying a property, you need to inspect as much as you can and understand a lot about that particular property that you're buying. Not only its history, but its foundation and many other aspects. And that's when a good person behind you in the real estate industry will guide you what you need to do. A lot of people, which I know, Wendy, just look at the inside of the property and go, oh, this is gorgeous. Isn't it lovely? And they get really caught up with all the emotions, but you really still need to do your homework and understand what is going on. And it's always good to have someone that's got your back. And I do believe and hope you can agree with me, and a good solicitor as well, if need be. Because buying property is one of the biggest investments that all of us will ever do in a lifetime. Some people just love buying and buying and buying and buying. But you need to have a good understanding. So fast track 10 key modules in buying a home is really giving you the opportunity to understand the language. I was going to say jargon, but it's not, but the language. So it gives you a clear perspective on what is the right thing to do. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree with you, because there are lots of pitfalls along the way.
Mm.
And I've been doing this for nearly 30 years.
Yes, there
you
go.
And I have seen a lot. And the importance of having the right team around you, and also having your wits about you. So many times someone will look at a property once and then they go back for a second look and they'll go, I didn't see that. I didn't notice that. I didn't know that it was there. Because, as you mentioned, there's so much emotion involved with buying a property that people aren't always thinking clearly. And so it is that having that support there, looking after your interest. And I'll give you an example. Recently, we purchased a property for a client, a first-time buyer client. We had a building and pest inspection done, and that inspection revealed some issues with the property. So I did further negotiation on that purchase, and I got another $5,000 price reduction on that property. And not only at the end, I had it taken off the contract price, so my client saved on stamp duty.
Wow, that's fantastic. So that's why it is important to have that knowledge. It's vital. I think it's just vital. But you know what, Wendy? I think it's also with anything that you do these days, even if you're shopping for a simple television or a washing machine, there's so many varieties and aspects to buying a washing machine. You either buy one with all plastic or with all metal. You buy a television that's a good sounded with longevity. I mean, it's anything that we do today, we need to really snoop in a little bit and know if it's going to be the right fit, because buying a home and buying anything these days, you want it to last, don't you? Because it's so expensive if something goes wrong.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I say that about buying real estate. It is expensive to get it wrong.
Oh, gee, you're not wrong there. Now, also to being a buyer's advocate, of course, and we'll need to wrap up shortly, and a selling advocate, just give us the indication of what's the difference between the two and how can this really give you a thumbs up when purchasing a property?
As a buyer's advocate, we are an independent voice, and we step in and we work on behalf of our client, and we are the one communicating with the real estate agent. So our clients come to us because they don't want to deal with real estate agents. They may not necessarily trust the real estate agent. They don't know if they're telling the truth, particularly around pricing, and they don't want to overspend. And they want to make sure that they have that second set of ears and eyes really looking out for them, and that's what we do. We hold their hand through the entire process because there are many moving parts. I mentioned about lining up your ducks, but you've got to even know which ducks you've got to line up, and that's what we're there to do, and that's how we can support our clients on the buying side. On the selling side, we make sure that the right agent is selected to work with our client to sell the property. So we are the go-between. We speak to the client and we speak to the agent, and we make sure that everything flows smoothly in that space. I had a really good question recently was, isn't it a conflict sometimes to be a buyer and a seller's advocate? And I say, no, it's never happened, because we will not represent both sides. If we have a client that is selling, then our buying clients, that property is not going to suit them. We cannot do that because that's a conflict of interest. I think that's really important to know that we are there to protect the interests of our clients as they're venturing into these waters of trying to buy or sell real estate.
Absolutely, and I agree. So what's happening for you on the weekend? Do you have a couple of areas of selling or auctioning this weekend?
We have a property at the moment that we are selling in Northcote, so that's just come on, and that's going really, really well. Quite a good feedback from the buyers, so that's very exciting. And we've got some fingers in pies on other properties that we're looking to buy for clients. So it's always interesting, and I just love looking at real estate.
But just before we go, what's the hottest area at the moment? What's firing at the moment?
Well, the pockets of the inner north are really firing, but it comes down to your budget. And it's probably more so than an area, it's probably more so price point. So that bracket that's up to about 1.5 million, which is quite hotly contested for first home buyers, but also people that might be looking to upside through the inner north areas. Because we talked about what the market is doing. So further down Bayside and Mornington, they're not really, they're coming back up at the moment, but certainly through the Eastern Corridor, out through to Mitcham, Nunawading, out through there, it's starting to get some legs back under it. But the inner north, not all properties, obviously, but for the ones, like I talked about Billy units, for where it's a type of property product that is well regarded by buyers, those are getting good contest on them at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, as a podcaster and international best-selling author, speaker, licensed estate agent and much, much more, Wendy, as I said, has been in the industry for well over 30 years, and you're more than welcome to reach out to her if you do. It's chamberlainadvocates.com.au and hello@chamberlainadvocates.com.au. Well, you have a nice selling weekend ahead of you, and thank you, as always, for the updates, and much appreciated. You stay warm, and we'll speak very soon.
Thanks, Vilma. I always love coming on and chatting because there's always so many things to talk about.
Oh, you're not wrong. Okay, you have a lovely week ahead of you. Good selling.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.